Psalm 46, we read, refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with a swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. See you. I'd like to focus our attention on verse 10, that phrase that is so familiar and so common to us. Be still and know that I am God. Life is very loud, isn't it? Anytime you go to the city or go to town to go to the store to shop or turn on the radio or watch television, life you find is very loud. Whether you're driving down the road and someone pulls alongside of you and they're playing their stereo system very loud and you're thinking, how in the world can they stand that? Certainly they're going to be going deaf. Life is loud. Or whether you are traveling on the road and you listen very carefully and you start to hear the drone of an airplane that's coming closer and closer and faster and it zooms overhead like over here at the Indianapolis airport for the air show. And we realize that life is loud. Or when you're going through the store and you hear a baby crying at the top of its lungs, wah, 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 and you realize, boy, will someone just shut that kid up? You realize life is loud. Life is very loud. People are loud. We know this because very often we think, why are they talking so loudly? Maybe you think of that about me sometimes. Or when you're watching television, have you noticed that advertisements on television are somewhat louder than the programs that you are watching? They do that for a reason, because they want to get your attention. Perhaps you've been watching a show and it's been kind of a slow, low volume sound, and they want to get your attention before you go to the refrigerator and grab something to eat. They want to get your attention, grab it, so that you can watch their advertisement and not take a break. Life is loud. Life is loud in the places that we go to. You've probably heard of the 7-minute lull, where if you are in a crowd of people, studies have shown that after 7 minutes or so, people apparently forget that they have something to say to others, and you can kind of hear the crowd hush. But even if you are in a big crowd, you still will hear a din of people, a din of voices. And they can get louder and softer, they can ebb and flow, but places that you go to can often be very loud. You have driving noises, road noise as you're driving along. Have you noticed that when you come to a stop and you realize your radio is on, it seems like it's very loud? Why does that happen? Because when you are driving, you have this road noise and you have to turn up the volume on your radio just so you can hear it. And when the road noise is gone, it seems like you're deaf. Life is loud. Life is loud with all sorts of things, all sorts of people, all sorts of places, all trying to get our attention for some reason. Whether it's a child yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs, trying to get your attention for you to do something for them. Or a teenager that has that music blaring on in their car stereo, they're trying to get attention from someone. Or the advertisements on television. People are trying to get our attention, and they do it with noise, don't they? They do it with noise, and they try to get our attention off of what we were focusing on and onto something else. I was learning a little something about decibel levels over the past couple of weeks. And I've been learning a little bit about how speech is to be over a certain decibel level to ensure that people can hear it. And I thought some very interesting statistics concerning decibel levels. Of course, decibel is the measurement of sound. And depending on what level or what decibel level, you can experience what that sound is. They actually have sound meters that can determine what kind of decibel level it is. And these are some examples. The weakest sound that you might hear, perhaps a very soft hum or even a very light whisper, the weakest sound that is heard would be the bass line. That is considered 0 decibels. A normal conversation that you might have with someone and you're standing very close to them between 3 and 5 feet apart is a standard 60 to 70 decibels. So you can understand the difference between silence and just a conversational tone of voice, 60 to 70 decibels. A telephone dial tone, when you pick up the phone and you hear that burp, that's actually louder than a normal conversation. That's about 80 decibels. So we can see the increase in volume is getting higher and higher. The city traffic, if you're going to go to downtown Indianapolis and you were driving through traffic and you would hear the honks and you would hear all the different noises of the vehicles inside the car, the decibel level is about 85 decibels. A train whistle, if it's about 500 feet away from you, is at 90 decibels. Again, the loudness and the volume is increasing. As the train gets closer to about 200 feet, the decibels rise about 5 to 95 decibels. The level at which sustained exposure may result in hearing loss, and this is very interesting, is around 90 to 95 decibels. If you experience that for any length of time, you could potentially experience some hearing loss. And that's not very much more than the 70 to 75 or 60 to 70 decibel level of a normal conversation. If you were to mow the lawn, boy, if we could mow the lawn today, huh? I don't like to mow the lawn, but I would rather do it in the heat, the warmth, and the sub-zero and the close to zero temperatures that we've been experiencing. But a power mower is about 107 decibels. So you can understand how the volume here is increasing. A power saw is somewhat higher, 110 decibels. You begin to experience pain in your ears if you have normal hearing. Some of you I know are somewhat deaf in your ears. But about 125 decibels, you will start to experience pain because the noise is too loud. At this point, you'll, of course, want to put earplugs in to prevent it from damaging your ears. A jet engine at 100 feet is some 140 decibels, and you can hear the roar of those engines. They're extremely loud and can cause damage. You can actually kill your hearing tissue at 180 decibels. And the loudest sound possible is 194 decibels. Now, with all these said, all these different types of sounds, you can see the range from about really 60 to 70 decibels to the loudest possible sound of 194 decibels. If you were to hear a voice over any of these sounds, the decibel level of that voice would have to be about 15 decibels higher than any of these sounds. And that is why when you're mowing the lawn and you can't really hear someone, you have to yell above the lawnmower in order to hear somebody. In the loudness of life, how much louder? With all the volume that we see and all the sounds that we hear, we understand that life is loud, but with all the loudness that we experience in this life, how much louder does the Lord have to speak to get our attention? How much louder does the Lord have to speak to get our attention? I remember this last summer as I was mowing. It was one of the hottest days this summer, this last summer. It was probably 90-some degrees, and I went out there in the heat of the day and was mowing the lawn. And as I was mowing, I was very hot, and I was very thirsty, and I wanted to get my daughter's attention. My daughter and my son were playing there in the backyard as I was mowing, and I wanted to get their attention so that I could get a drink. Now, normally, I would be able to just stop the mower and get it myself, but with our lawnmower, if you let it stop, you may not get it started back up again. So I wanted to keep it going so I could finish my lawn mowing job. And so I was trying to get my daughter's attention. I had to yell, "Paige, Paige!" And I had to yell louder and louder until finally I got her attention. Why? Because my decibel level exceeded the decibel level by at least 15 over the mower. And the sound of the mower, I had to get her attention. There's a lot of sounds in this world and even in this room that are trying to get our attention. A lot of things that are trying to distract us from those things that are most important. My question for us is, how loud does the Lord have to speak to us in order to get our attention? Psalm 46:10 says, in the loudness of life, the Lord tells us to be still and know
that I am God.
The Lord does not want to have to talk louder than any other noise out there. Instead, the Lord desires that we be still, so that He can speak in that still, small, wonderful, loving, tender voice that He has to His people, so that we will listen and hear what He has to say. The Lord says He will not give His glory to another. The Lord is not going to come down and speak louder, these 15 decibels higher than anything else that is maybe distracting us. He seeks us to listen by being still and know that He is God. In the loudness of life, are you taking time to be still and listen to the voice of the Lord? In the loudness of life, with all the sounds and all the different experiences that we seem to engulf ourselves with, are you taking the time that is necessary so that you can be still and know that He is God? Is the loudness of life distracting you from that still small voice of the Lord that we saw in 1 Kings 19 verse 12? We must not be distracted, but rather we need to be still and know the Lord. We must not be distracted by the sounds in this life, because life is loud. We must not be distracted by these things, but rather make time and take time to be still and know that He is God, and to listen to what He has to say. What does it mean to distract? To distract simply means to cause to turn away from the original focus of attention or interest. I remember my dad, when he would be reading a newspaper or a magazine, he was always accused of having a one-track mind. And I know sometimes I'm accused of having that too. Some of you might have that same problem, having a one-track mind, where once they are focused and engrossed in one particular thing, it's very hard to get their attention. The decibel level has to go up in order to get their attention. And I remember my dad would be sitting there on the couch, and he would perhaps have one of his finance magazines reading that, or perhaps his Bible, or even a computer magazine. Those were some of his interests and hobbies. And he would be engulfed and engrossed in that particular topic, and he'd be reading. And it frustrated my mother to no end that he had this one-track mind. Because she would say, "Honey, it's time for dinner. Honey, it's time for dinner." And louder she would get until finally she'd have to go up to him and even shake him out of his stupor as he's reading these articles and say, "Honey, it's time for dinner. Didn't you hear me? I've been saying that for the last 5 minutes." He goes, "No. Didn't hear a word you said." He was so focused on what he was reading that it took a lot for her to get the attention. But it ought not to be that way when the Lord speaks. We ought to be still. And even though there's the loudness of this world, we can be still in our hearts before the Lord and ought to take time and make time to be still in our busy days so that the Lord does not have to get our attention in that way. But rather He can speak, and we can say, "Speak, Lord, because Your servant hears." To distract means to cause to turn away from the original focus of attention or interest. When my mom was trying to get his interest, it was trying to take his focus off of that reading material onto what she had to say. And so often, the noises that are out there in this world are distracting us and trying to pull our focus away from those things that are most important. What are those things that are most important? We talked about them last Sunday night. Our purpose as a Christian is for the glory and beauty of the Lord. That is the focus of our life as a Christian. That should be our sole desire and focus. And yes, everything else within our lives can be revolving around that. We can do a good job in business with that purpose in mind, for God's glory and for His beauty. We can actually do things that would be considered mundane, like mowing the lawn or shoveling snow or whatever the case may be, for the glory and honor and the glory and beauty of the Lord. We can do that, and that ought to be our focus. And that ought to be the thing that, as Paul said, this one thing I do. This ought to be our focus and our passion. But there are so many things in the loudness of life that are trying to get our attention away from that. And so what do? They get louder and louder and stronger and stronger. And like a magnetic force, they try to pull us away from the thing that is most important in our lives. And that is to be still and know that He is God. Some of you received our Christmas card and had on there a picture of our family, and it also had our dog. And I know some of you commented about how beautiful that picture was. No one said how beautiful we were. They commented about the dog, Shanty. And she is a beautiful dog, an Alaskan Husky. She's got beautiful eyes, a beautiful coat, but the coat just sheds like you would not believe. It's really annoying. I guess Bob would believe it. I heard him talking about his dog's coat shedding earlier today. But some of you asked, how did we get Shanty to be looking at the camera so well? And I mean, it looks like she's just staring right at the camera. And I explained to some of you how we were doing it. See, her focus was on me as I was taking the picture. I had the timer set on our camera for, I think, 10 seconds on our digital camera. And every time I would take the picture, I would walk around to the place, or walk around the place where I had the camera set up to go to my place there by the Christmas tree. And every time I would walk, the dog would follow me. Her focus was on me. Every time I would walk, there would be Shanty looking at me. By the time I got and sat in my place, the picture would be taken, and there's Shanty looking at me. And that wasn't the way that's not the way we wanted the picture taken. So we had to distract her in some way. So I got up and I went into the kitchen and I grabbed the pen out of one of our holders and went and sat down and took the picture, or put the 10-second timer on there. Again, Shanty watching every move that I made, her focus was on me. I sat down, and then just before the picture was taken, I threw the pen close to where the camera was, and I got her attention off of me and onto that noise, and that's how we got the picture. So some of you didn't know that. But we had to do something drastic to get her attention, and that is what the world is trying to do, to take our attention away from those things that are most important. The decibel levels of the world and the loudness of the world is getting higher and higher and higher. Why? Because the devil and all his demons and the world itself is seeking to distract us from listening to the Lord and being still and knowing that He is God. And like Shanty, it doesn't usually take much to distract us from the things that are most important, does it? Sometimes it just takes a phone call. Sometimes it takes a television program. Sometimes it takes just a thought. A thought comes into mind, and those things that we are focusing on as we are reading the scripture or listening to the message of the Word of God or as we are singing praises, whatever the case may be, just a little thought, perhaps, the devil's placed there and it distracts us, draws us away. And no longer are we still in the presence of God, knowing and loving who He is, and we have been taken away back into the world system. We've been taken away, and again, it doesn't take that high of a decibel, even though it seems like they're getting louder and louder and stronger and stronger. The world wants to distract us from the things that are most important. But when we're distracted, we're usually missing the most important things. Have you ever found that? I have. Sometimes we're talking in conversation with people, and we might be talking along, and we're not really focusing exactly on what they're saying. Some of you know what this is like with your spouse or a close friend. And as you're talking, sometime your mind wanders away, and then you realize that you missed the most important detail that they were talking to you about. Perhaps it was directions or something else. And when we're distracted, it's very often because we are missing the most important thing, and that here is listening to the voice of the Lord. Tonight I'd like to look at some who were very distracted. The loudness of the world became so loud that it distracted them from the things that were most important. Let's first look at Genesis chapter 3, if you will. The first person I'd like us to consider, and there were many characters that we can look at throughout the Bible, and I just want to consider a few, that were distracted by the loudness of life. The first that we look at is the mother of us all, Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, we read this. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6 of Genesis 3, And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Here we have the very first temptation and the very first sin by Eve. Eve was distracted. Think about it. She was able to speak with the Lord in the cool of the day, right there in the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Paradise, the Garden of God. A place where there was beauty, a place where there was provision. She had, and Adam had, everything that they needed right there. They could eat of any fruit, of any tree, except for that one. They could be still at any time. I'm sure the animals would make noise, but they had no other people there to make noise. But they could sit there and be there together as a couple, and they could listen to the Lord, and they could commune with Him, and they could have a relationship, the likes of which we would never understand until we reach face to face with God in heaven. They were able to experience this wonderful communion with God. And yet here in Genesis 3, we meet up with a serpent. That old serpent, the devil himself, and he comes and tempts. And you can tell in this particular passage that he was very subtle. And I'm sure his decibel level was very low, very calming, very soothing. As he said to Eve, "Has God said? Did God really tell you all these things?" And he's trying to get a thought in Eve's mind to distract her from that wonderful fellowship of being still and knowing God there in the Garden of Eden. And what does she fall prey to? The devil got her attention. She was distracted. She was distracted not just by the devil himself, but she was distracted by her inmost attraction to these things. It says in verse 6 that she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and then she took it. Her own lust distracted her. As 1 John talks about it, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, those different lusts and those different passions and those different desires, those were the things that she was distracted by now. She no longer was interested in the still small voice of the Lord. She no longer was waiting to be still and know the Lord and what He had to say, but she was distracted and sin was the result. Let's look at another person that was distracted. In Luke chapter 10, and don't worry, even though this one that we're going to be discussing is also a lady, it's not just ladies that are distracted. We'll look at some men as well. Eve was distracted because the attraction in her own mind concerning that fruit was louder than the still small voice of the Lord, and she pursued after that. But here in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, we meet another woman by the name of Martha. A very familiar passage. But in Luke 10:38 we read, "Now it came to pass as they went," referring to Jesus and his disciples, "that he," referring to Christ, "entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving." We can insert the word distracted and have the same sense there. But Martha was distracted or cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled or distracted about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Again, we have a wonderful situation for Martha and Mary. Jesus Christ was their friend. They knew him face to face. And here when Jesus would come into this town, he would enter into the city and he would go to the very house of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And he would be able to enjoy himself there in comfort with his friends. What a tremendous opportunity for us, if we were in her situation, to be able to learn from Jesus Christ himself. What a tremendous opportunity. And of course, she wanted everything neat, everything tidy, everything ready. She wanted to have the food perfect. She wanted to have the beds made. She wanted to have the floors clean. She wanted everything done, just like we would if the Lord were to come to our house. But the Lord said something to Martha. He said, "Martha, you're cumbered about. You're distracted. You're troubled with various things, but there's one thing that's needful. There's really one thing that's primary. That's one thing that's important." And the loudness of just service, The loudness of activity became louder than the still small voice of the Lord, which she had the same opportunity as Mary had to be able to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn and listen and to be still and know that He was God. And yet Martha was distracted by those things. She was distracted by the loudness of activity. She had to hustle and bustle. She had to do this and do that. And she neglected the most important thing which Mary was able to do, and that was to sit at the feet of Jesus. And that one thing that was needful. That's a very key phrase in verse 42. One thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part. Martha had the same choice. And we do too. We have the same choice. We can choose to be distracted by the things in the world. Yes, the volume is getting higher. The decibels are getting higher to distract us from this one thing that is most important to us. But we have a choice. And our choice is either to listen to those higher decibel voices and activities and be distracted by it, or we can focus our attention even more earnestly and vigorously on that one thing that is needful and listen and be still to the Lord. This is what we ought to do. We ought to choose like Mary did. Choose that thing that is the wisest part. There are many times that we need to be active in the service of the Lord, but there are most times that we need to spend time with Him. I read an article about Andrew Bonar. Andrew Bonar was a Christian. I don't remember exactly when he lived, but several hundred years ago. And he said something that, I'm not going to get it exactly right, but he said that before he put anything, or put his hands to any kind of work, he put his knees to prayer. And so it must be in our lives. We must, yes, be vigorous in our activity, like Martha was. We must always abound in the work of the Lord, but we must never neglect the thing that is needful of being still in the presence of God and learning of Him and loving Him, of praying to Him, of fellowshipping with Him. What was louder to Martha? The activity or the Lord? The activity was definitely louder and distracted her. Let's turn over to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to see the distraction of some men now. In Mark chapter 10, verse 35, we come and find James and John and their mother, and we find that they also were distracted about some things. Eve was distracted by her attraction to that fruit. Martha was distracted by her activities and the loudness of them. James, John, and their mother here are distracted by their own ambition. In verse 35 of Mark chapter 10 we read, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And Jesus said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you?" In a parallel passage in Matthew 20, you don't need to turn there, but we also find that their mother was with them and asked the same thing. "And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John." You can imagine why. "But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." Again, what a tremendous place of privilege that James and John had. They were one of the 12, and they were able to go with the Lord wherever he went. They were included with Peter in those three where Jesus was transfigured before them, and they were able to see Christ in his glory. And they were able to hear his testimony and hear his wonderful words of life over and over again. Talk about paradise again. Paradise on earth. And yet, what distracted them? Just their ambition. The ambition of their own hearts. The temptation in their own souls. Again, they were unable to be still and listen to the Lord because they were distracted by the noise of life and the noise of their ambition. They looked around and they saw all the different rulers that were in Israel. I mean, they had the religious rulers, they had the Jewish rulers, they had the Roman rulers. And they thought, Lord, if you're going to establish a kingdom, you're going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're your inner circle. What is that going to make us? We're going to be generals or vice presidents or vice kings or whatever. And they're going to be excited about this. And they're saying, Lord, do for us this one thing. Have us sit at your right hand or your left hand. Put us in a place of prominence and authority and power because you're going to be able to do this. And the Lord says, you're distracting. You're being distracted by the things that matter most. He says, I didn't come in order to have everyone serve me. I came to serve and be a minister. And this is what he came to tell them as well. Just as I came to minister to you, I'm encouraging you and sending you to minister to others in the same way. And no longer are you going to be lording over people like the Gentiles. And yet they could not hear that because they weren't still. They didn't know that the Lord and what he was saying. They were distracted. Their ambition was louder than even the words of the Lord, and it drew their attention away from him. These all were distracted, and they all missed the most important things. Instead, rather, they should have been still and heard from the Lord. We ought not to be distracted, but to listen and to be still. When should we be still? I'd like to look at four times in our lives that we ought to be still. And I know there are many more within the Scripture as well, but turn with me to a few other passages briefly. But in the book of Psalms, once again, in Psalm 95, verse 6, when should we be still and know that the Lord is God? Psalm 95, 6. Really, this entire passage, I'm not going to take the time to read the entire chapter, but it talks about worship, but we hone in on verse 6, which says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We ought to be still in times of worship to the Lord. We ought to be still and not be distracted by the loudness of this life when we come to the Lord in worship. How many times have I and have we come into a place of worship here within our church or even at home as we have opened the Bible to study and our mind is distracted so easily by things? And yet the Lord says here, oh come, let us worship and bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. If you've ever bowed down and kneeled, you know that this is a posture that does take some doing to get to. And the older you get, the harder it is to do this. Right? Some people are even, it may be even impossible to do. But it's a posture of waiting. It's a posture of sitting there on your knees. It's a posture where you are being still. You can't get up and hop around and do jumping jacks when you're kneeling there before the Lord. This is a posture of worship. Coming before the Lord and prostrating yourself before Him and saying, Lord, I'm going to be still and listen to your voice. And so we come. When we come and worship, we are to be still. And know that He is God. In times of worship especially, we ought to crowd out those distractions with the things and the thoughts of the Lord. Tonight, what is your mind on as you worship the Lord? Is your mind on Him, or you be distracted by the other loudnesses of this world? There was a really loud thing going on last Sunday, and I know that because the Super Bowl was on. And I remember years ago when I lived in Denver, Colorado, in upstate New York, we loved the Denver Broncos, and I had a passion for that sports team like Indianapolis has for the Colts, and it's amazing to see how people just love their team and support it. And I remember when the Broncos would go to the championships or the Super Bowls, and I just, as a young person, could not wait to get out of church to go watch the game. Or I would even at times beg my parents, don't make me go to church so I can watch the game. Why? Because the loudness of life was drawing my attention and distracting me away from the most important things, and that was worship. When else should we be still? Not only in times of worship, but in times of prayer. In Matthew chapter 26, if you'll turn there with me for a moment, here, coming close to the end of the Lord's life, He is there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we know this passage, but He takes Peter and James and John, that inner circle, to go with Him to pray before God. In Matthew 26, verse 39, we read this. Matthew 26:39, and he, referring to Jesus, went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And we can see just the compassion and the passion that the Lord had here, the eagerness and the anxiousness of his own mind and his own heart. And then in verse 40, the discouragement shows where he comes unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And said unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, he says, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. When should we be still and know that he is God? Most especially in times of prayer. When we spend time in prayer within our own lives and our own individual walk with him and as a church, we need to be still and know that he is God. This is the greatest time when the Lord not only hears from his people, but he speaks to his people through prayer. Are we so loud and so caught up in praying our own words to the Lord that we cannot hear him speak? I was reading a book written by Martin Luther on a description of how he prayed. And he said that there were times as he was praying that he would stop the words from his mouth and he would listen literally for hours on end. And he would sit there not saying a word. Have you ever prayed without saying a word? We don't think that that is prayer. But his heart was so overwhelmed that he was praying and he was still. He had his mind and heart and thoughts consumed upon the Lord. And he said there were times when the Holy Spirit was preaching to him sermons that were the greatest sermons that he would ever hear. Greater than any pastor ever preached. Why? Because he took the time in prayer to be still and quiet and know that he is God. When else should we be still? In the times where we experience the Word of God, turning over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 briefly, we read what Paul wrote to Timothy about the Word of God and his treatment of the Word of God. Not only should we be watching in prayer, but we should certainly be watching in the Word of God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 through 15, we read this. Again, Paul telling Timothy, Till I come, Timothy, give attendance to reading the Word of God, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. And he says, Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Paul tells Timothy, and Paul, through Timothy, tells us, when we come to the Word of God, we ought to be still. We ought to meditate upon these things and to give ourselves wholly to them. Now, he's talking to a pastor. And you might think, well, that's good for a pastor. It's not good for me. But Paul is speaking to Timothy and through Timothy to us, all of us. Meditation takes time and takes quietness, stillness before the presence of God in order to truly be fed on the Word. How do you meditate upon the Word of God? It's not just reading a passage of Scripture. It's not just picking up the daily bread. I guess they're not out there. Picking up a daily bread and reading the thought for the day. And, oh, that's a good thought. But it is mulling that thought over and over and over throughout the day. This is a great way to make the Word of God louder than the loudness of life. As you are driving down the road, you think about the Scripture that you read that morning, and you're thinking constantly about that verse. Perhaps you have it on the 3x5 card, and you're memorizing it, and you're not just saying the words over and over again like a mantra, but rather you're taking each word and you're thinking about it, and you're wondering, I wonder what the Lord meant by that particular word, because we understand that all Scripture, every Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We have a verbal and plenary inspiration of the Holy Scriptures. That means every word in every part is inspired by God. He had a purpose for every word that he put on this page for us. And every word that we can go to, even the prepositions, are filled with meaning and importance. And you can look at those words, you can look at those articles, you can look at those prepositions, those nouns and those verbs, and you can think about what the Lord is teaching you that through that verse. And then the Holy Spirit will preach to you like no other pastor ever could. And this takes silence. This takes time where you are still in the presence of God. And finally, the other time that we need to be still is when we are experiencing times of fellowship. If you'll turn with me to one last passage in 1 Corinthians 11. The Apostle Paul is teaching about the ordinance of the Lord's Supper, and he's talking about how, I guess, there in Corinth, people would come to the Lord's Supper, and people would be delayed for some reason, and they would go ahead and start without him. You ever heard that? Let's just go ahead and start without him. Well, he was trying to eliminate that problem, because here in 1 Corinthians 11:33, he says, "Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat," that is the Lord's Supper and this love feast that they would generally have before it, he says this key phrase, "tarry one for another." That word "tarry" means to wait on and wait with. It means to spend time with people. It means not to be so in a rush and so cumbered about like Martha that you cannot be still and know God through the fellowship with his people. Tarry one for another. This is how we can be still and know God. It's not just through prayer, it's not just through worship, it's not just through his word, but it's through each other. Just as we mentioned this morning, motivating each other, provoking and considering one another to love and good works. This is our job. This is what we do on the journey of the Christian life. And this is one aspect of being still and knowing that he is God. It is tarrying one for another. How can we experience the love that God desires between us if we're not there for each other? Don't be distracted. Take time and make time to be still and listen to the Lord. You know, as I said, life is loud. Well, storms are loud too. Sometimes at night in our house, we can hear the creaking of the wind through our house, and it's just amazing. Sometimes it distracts us and wakes us up. Storms can be loud too. But when we get all worked up about these things and are distracted by them and cannot be still and know that he is God, the Lord says this to the storms, "Peace be still." We need not be distracted, but rather ought to be still and listen to the Lord, because that's what we need most. That's what we need most. So as we go through this week, let's remember the times when we ought to be still and know that he is God. So let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, I pray that you might teach us from your word what it means to be still and know that you are God. Lord, so often we become distracted like Eve through attraction to sin. Sometimes we are distracted just by activities like Martha. And even sometimes, Lord, we're distracted by our own blind ambition and desires that we fail to recognize the most important things. So, Lord, I pray that you might help us to be still and know that you are God today. And that, Father, we will not be distracted by the loudness of this life. But rather, as Apostle Paul said, "This one thing I do." Help us to keep that one thing in mind. That one thing that is needful. Help that to be our focus. Help us to have a one-track mind. But help that track to be toward the things of the Lord. So that it will be so strong that the loudness of this life and the decibel levels that we experience in this world will not be able to pull us away from that which really attracts us. And that is our love and relationship and walk with you. Father, help us to be still and know that you are God. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.